Hi, James. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on. As always, it's great to be here.
Well, tell us now, what is your take? Has anything changed in this last week? Certainly, we know that China's having a great deal of difficulty and they're beginning to cut back. They're worried they're going to destroy the value of their currency by printing too much of it. And China seems to be the country that's really doing everything they can to get a gold-backed currency. In fact, many people are talking about how the Chinese currency may well replace the American currency as the reserve currency of the world, but we know things are terrible in Europe, and basically, contrary to everything we're being told, why Greece and Italy and Portugal and Spain are having more and more problems, as is France. And here in the United States, they tell us, of course, that the employment is getting better, it's getting better, and so the employment's gone from 7.5% to 7.6%, but it's getting better. But how can it be getting better if it goes from 7.5 to 7.6%? And the real truth of the matter is, if you look at the U6 statistics, you'll find out that this is, we went from about 13.6 or 13.8% up to well over 14%. Basically, they use the statistics to confuse the American people. What are your thoughts? Where are we headed, and what does the future hold for America?
Well, you're exactly right about what you've just said there. You said a lot, but I think you said it well. And certainly last Friday's jobs report coming in stronger than expected, although those numbers are manipulated and fraudulent and bear little or no resemblance to reality, they still have the ability to move markets so that when they come out better than expected, then the markets will respond accordingly. So we've been seeing a lot of this this type of big reactions to little or no or faked news for a long time now, but they're really starting to come to a head now as more and more of the markets are really manipulated and driven by these types of phony baloney announcements from central banking authorities and from National Bureau of Labor Statistics and other such agencies. You're also exactly right on the Chinese gold situation, with China really stockpiling gold as what would seem to be a hedge against the collapse of the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency. And in fact, China Radio International owns a newspaper called the World News Journal there in China, which recently had an editorial talking about how the U.S. and Europe have always suppressed the rising price of gold in order to prop up the U.S. dollar, and that China is increasing gold reserves to act as a model and lead other countries towards reserving more gold. Because they're looking towards the creation of a gold-backed system at some point when the U.S. dollar starts to falter. So once again, the Chinese and others are, I think, seeing the writing on the wall and looking at the long-term picture, while many American investors are still looking at day-to-day jobs reports and things of this nature and not looking at really the underlying structural fundamentals that are showing that there are big cracks coming in this system.
Well, I think that people pretty much understand that they've tried down through the centuries to do away with the gold-backed monetary system. It has always failed, and it's failing now. Certainly, the value of our currency is progressively decreasing. They're lying to us. Certainly, the inflation rate is far higher, and the unemployment rate is far worse than the average person suspects or knows. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is James Corbett, who writes a regular column every week, actually twice a week, for the International Forecaster. And James was simply saying that certainly it looks like the Chinese are actually trying to get gold backing for their currencies so that their currency may well supplant the American dollar. When the American dollar crashes now, right now, things look good. The value of the dollar is going up. And what's behind the dollar? Absolutely nothing. It's faith in the integrity of our leaders, but how many people really have faith in our leaders? It's all manipulated, since they control the media and the banks, or maybe the banks control the media and the government, who doesn't really matter. But basically, of course, what we're seeing basically is the fact that although the value of the dollar is going up and the value of gold supposedly is going down, in the real world, this is not at all what's happening. And certainly, We do know that it's very, very difficult today to get delivery on silver. And what about certainly all these people who are certainly, want to buy gold at these prices? Are they actually able to get the gold down there at the price, current prices, or is there something being done to manipulate this whole market? What are your thoughts on that, James?
Well, as we've seen in this recent drop in gold prices, physical demand has not only held, but in fact is even increasing in places like China and India, where consumers understand this to be a buying opportunity, a really bargain pricing moment in the gold markets. And there are people who are saying that there's the chance that that gold could fall below its current technical support levels of 1155, could come in even under $1,000. But I don't think anyone is expecting that prices are going to stay that way. I think that this is going to be a dip that is going to see an upside on the other side. And of course, when we start talking about things like the eventual collapse of the U.S. dollar, I think that people who are not divesting themselves of U.S. dollar denominated assets are going to be the ones on the short end of that stick. But interestingly enough, there was a story that came out just a few days ago about the J.P. Morgan vault at the COMEX. Apparently, 6,800 ounces of gold was pulled out of JPM's bank vault, their gold vault at the COMEX last week. And also the Brinks, which is another huge depository, saw a 133,000 ounce withdrawal from their gold holdings, which is 24% of its entire registered gold holdings, was committed last Friday. So there are some very, very strange things going on with the physical supply behind the scenes that
hold the thought, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and James is simply saying that there have been massive withdrawals of gold from many of the vaults of the major banking companies. And basically, of course, somebody is accumulating gold, and the banks that they are forced to sell it. But my understanding is that actually, of course, there's increasing shortages of gold at these prices. And certainly, the smart people are buying up gold as rapidly as they can, knowing full well that the price is going up again. And what are the banks doing? Do the banks actually have the gold to make routine deliveries?
This is part of the COMEX system upon which this entire game kind of relies. And of course, the idea is that people can buy into the various exchanges, and given certain conditions, they can ask for physical delivery of the paper gold that they're supposedly holding. But the idea is that that there's never going to be that many people asking for the physical delivery of the gold, so that they can basically run this type of scam, which is the exact same type of scam that we've seen in every other possible sector, including, of course, the banking sector generally, where, of course, the banks don't have all of the depositors' deposits in their vault. If all the depositors came and asked for the deposits at the same time, the banks would go under. And this is what they understand. But they also understand that not everyone's going to come at the same time. So they do have these massive vaults that are meant to be able to fulfill these orders should they come in. But to see large withdrawals from them all at the same time and taking place quietly behind the scenes is a kind of worrying sign, I would say, for people who are interested in the price of gold being suppressed, because I think this indicates that there is something happening right now behind the scenes with the physical supply that is going to play out in a pretty spectacular fashion in the near future. Again, we can only speculate who is doing this and for what purpose right now, but I think that, for example, Jim Rickards and others have been talking for a while now about the possibility of China using hedge funds and other kind of puppet financial institutions that they've set up over the last decade or two to quietly buy up gold reserves to continue pushing them into the Chinese bank holdings. So I think we've seen this being floated around as an idea of what's happening behind the scenes, and we're starting to see some of the signs of that, for example, these large gold withdrawals. And again, it's quite speculative at this point, but I think that we can't imagine 24% of Brink's entire registered gold holdings being withdrawn on one day being anything other than a very significant story in the gold markets.
Well, I share your concern, but the average a person really isn't concerned. I mean, they think that our economy is stable. We're being told it's stable. We're being told that General Motors is doing great, selling more cars than ever, almost back to the number of cars they were selling back in 2008. And everything is being done to convince the American people things are wonderful, and yet basically the only reason that General Motors is selling cars is because they have such a limited increase in their price. My understanding is they're having real financial problems because if they charge the full price and we're making a profit on these, their cars would not be moving. And basically, of course, in other countries they seem to be doing fairly well, but here in America, how do we have any idea how the car industry is really doing? We're being told everything's great, but what's really happening?
Well, I think we are seeing in the car, in the auto industry, in the housing industry, we are seeing these rallies. But I would be extremely cautious about what these actually portend for the long-term economy. In fact, what we saw just a couple of months ago, we saw an incredible increase in consumer credit. The second highest monthly jump in consumer credit in the last 2 years took place in May, which is a pretty disturbing figure, considering, of course, we just saw the interest rates skyrocketing in June. So what we're seeing is more people, contrary to what we've been told for some time now, that people are deleveraging and they're getting out of debt, et cetera, et cetera. We hear that mantra a lot, but in fact, consumer credit is going up, and people are getting more and more comfortable with getting loans in order to finance their purchases, including, of course, cars and houses. And this is going to be, I think, a bigger and bigger concern as the fundamentals of this economy are proven to be absolutely ephemeral, that they're based on nothing other than central bank injections of liquidity into the markets. I think once that reality really starts to hit home and people start to see how much underwater they are, I think that will really be a type of crisis moment. So I think we're seeing the creation of bubbles of all different sorts, and one of them might be this consumer credit bubble, which is forming, which is quite disturbing, considering, of course, what we saw happen in 2007, 2008.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for our guest, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we're being told by the controlled media that everything is really wonderful and that things are going well, and certainly the government said they will just keep pumping about $1 trillion of new money into the economy every year, and that's going to make everything just fine. The only trouble is, and then, of course, what happens if that money were really released and put into the economy? We'd have rapid inflation. So to avoid that, what the Federal Reserve is doing is something unique. It's actually paying banks to put their money with the Federal Reserve rather than circulate it. It's guaranteed money. It's guaranteed income for the banks. But, of course, simply rather than making that money available either for the industry to invest or for individuals to invest, why, it's all being bottled up, and we have more money deposited with the Federal Reserve than we've ever had before. With the full realization that if this money is ever released, we'd have rampant inflation. What are your thoughts on that, James?
Well, you're exactly right about that. In fact, the Federal Reserve has just been printing money outright, but of course this is just money that's sitting on their own books. It's not actually doing anything in the economy. So that has, I guess, the good side, that it's not contributing to inflation, but of course also the bad side, that really this money that they're creating is, again, just a fictional notion. Every bit as fictional as, for example, the derivatives and the wealth that has created, quote-unquote, by the financial institutions. But I think that there's a tendency for people who look at this information that's coming out and look at what the moves that the central bankers are making, etc., and kind of throw their hands up in the air and say, well, you know, this is all some big overwhelming system and there's nothing we can do about it. We just have to sit here and be passive recipients of whatever these people are doing, and everything's going to fall apart and there's nothing that can be done. I hope that we can counteract that message with a message of personal empowerment, because at the end of the day, they can continue to manipulate markets and job figures and everything else under the sun. But when it comes down to the actual real economy that most of us live in, of trading with the people around us on a day-to-day basis, it still comes down to our personal choices and our what we choose to invest our time and our money in. And I think that's a message that doesn't get stressed nearly enough, because that's the type of message that I think is ultimately one that could truly make these corporations and the government that's in their back pocket really afraid of what's happening. Because if people protest what's happening in a way that doesn't actually protest the companies themselves or the government themselves, then they don't really care how angry people get about what's happening. But if you start to actually change the way you make your decisions, the things that you spend your money on, I think that is something that can truly change the society at large. This is something that I tried to address in my most recent Forecaster editorial, because once again, I think it is important for people to realize just how much of this is within their own personal control. Again, we can't control some of the big macroeconomic numbers that are being floated around, but we can control who we end up transacting with, what we end up buying, what we spend our time on, what we spend our money on, how we earn our money, where we store our money. These are decisions that we make every single day that just seem so natural that we don't even think about them, but are in fact have a huge effect on the way that the economy goes and the extent to which it's able to be manipulated.
All right, well, let's go to John, who's calling us from Spokane, Washington. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295 if you have a question or comment. But remember, your future, your retirement, everything hinges on the stability of our monetary system, and the American monetary system has been gutted. Basically, they tell us they have gold, but to backing our currency, and yet when Germany recently asked to get their gold back, we've been holding it since the end of the Second World War, they were told that they couldn't have it for 7 years. If they're holding the gold, why won't they give the gold to the Germans? And I think this was the first inkling for many people that what we're being told about the gold holdings of our country is totally fraudulent. Our wealth has been transferred into the hands of a few very wealthy people. Have ruling elites, of course, who pay allegiance to a different god. Well, let's go to John calling from Spokane. John, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, good to talk to you again. I'm wanting to know what exactly are derivatives and how does that affect supply and demand?
I think that's a very good question. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But James, would you mind going into derivatives? Because it's said that there's something like about $450-460 trillion in derivatives out there that we're holding, and that could be a disaster. And am I exaggerating that number or not?
No. Well, no one really knows the actual number for this, because it is so complex that there's in some cases no way to really understand how much a derivative is actually worth. But there are some estimates of $1 quadrillion of derivatives. So it's really a kind of a crapshoot with what numbers you're going to believe. But basically, a derivative is a kind of a bet. Not on the actual value of something, but on the movements in the value of something. So, for example, if you believe that a certain stock is going to go up in price, you can basically bet on that by buying a derivative contract on that, that the stock is going to move up, or if a stock is going to drop in price, etc. There are different types of derivatives, and they can get very complex. In fact, they can get so complex that most financial advisors don't really understand how they work, and they have default credit swaps and things that really boggle people's mind.
Hold the thought. Go right ahead, James.
Okay, but basically, as I was saying, that ultimately this is bets on the movements in prices in certain goods. So really, all this is kind of a sophisticated casino economy that the derivatives have created.
But I think the one thing about this, John, it's like buying an insurance policy. You want to insure your investments. I'm sure you go to a major bank and they will write you, for all intents and purposes, it's a wager, but it's in basically it's an insurance policy. Let's imagine that the value of the stock that you bought actually goes down. Well, it's insured. You don't have to worry, except for the fact that the bank that is giving you this insurance policy doesn't have any money. And basically, if enough of the stocks were to go down and they were actually covering those with derivative contracts, it would bring down the whole financial system. It is not a sound financial system. Insurance requires that certainly the people who write the policies have a certain amount of money on hand to meet any possible complications that could develop, like a major storm, a major flooding, and they have to be able to come up with $10 or $20 billion. But there's no way people can come up with trillions of dollars, not even our major banks. Does that answer your question, John?
Yeah, but sounds like derivatives. It seems like derivatives are similar to gambling.
How would you respond to that? John says that derivatives are similar to gambling. Would you agree with that?
Basically, yes. It's turned the economy into this kind of casino economy, which is very dangerous in a lot of ways, because just as gamblers can get addicted to the gambling and can overspend on the on what they're willing to part with and end up losing it all, the exact same thing can happen in the derivatives markets. And we've seen that with, for example, the meltdown of AIG, and why the government had to step in and bail AIG out was because it was the counterparty to a number of those credit default swaps and other types of derivatives, which if AIG went bust, would suddenly mean that there'd be not just billions of dollars, but trillions of dollars, potentially hundreds of trillions of dollars of knock-on effects in this casino economy, because it's so leveraged. It's leveraged unbelievably to the point where small disruptions can have huge effects. And this is really, I think, the main risk that this derivatives economy poses.
And I think that the threat is, John, that if these things ever turned against the major banks, the major banks could go bankrupt and the whole system would come down. They tell us the banks are too big to fail. But what happens if they do fail? Anything else, John?
Oh, this is a great program. I like listening to it.
Okay, well, I'm glad. We appreciate your calling. And I hope that you'll get other people up there in the Spokane area listening. We do what we do because, of course, both John, both James and I want people to understand what's going on and begin to prepare for what I believe are very, very difficult times. And these derivatives may be the ultimate certainly situation that will topple our whole economy. We're just going to have to wait and see. Okay. Okay, very good. And we're going to be back here in just a moment. And suddenly our guest is James Corbett. And James, do you think people are really understand derivatives? Do you think that are the people who run our government really concerned about them?
I would say no and no. I think there's been a crash course since 2008 and the collapse of Lehman, but if you'll excuse the pun. But no, I think a lot of people don't understand how they work. And in fact, even the people who trade in them don't understand the consequences.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've just been talking derivatives, and basically they are a real threat. I asked James if he thought that certainly the people who are sitting writing these contracts really understand them, and his view is that they really don't, but they are potentially extremely dangerous, and if they ever start to come down, it could pull down certainly the whole financial system with it. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly, James is saying that some people estimate there may be as much as $1 quadrillion worth of certainly out of derivatives out there. There's only about 60 trillion dollars in the whole world. So basically, if you have $1 quadrillion going down, why, you have a real, real problem. So do we have any idea, what plans? Do we have any idea of whether any major losses in derivatives with this fallout we had about 2 weeks ago when they Bernanke suggested that he might cut back on funneling almost $1 trillion a year into our economy, $85 billion a month, and suddenly there was just a tremendous drop in the stock market over 2 or 3 days, and then, of course, they assured everybody there was nothing to worry about. In fact, it looked to me like a trial balloon to see what would happen, what the people would do if faced with the threat of the government cutting back on their spending, but the government doesn't have the money. The Federal Reserve is simply creating the money out of nothing, and it works real well, and certainly things are going along. We're holding as far as unemployment is concerned. It's going up a little bit. If you look at the U6 figures, we're looking at a little over 14% unemployment. That's unemployed. Underemployed or simply given up looking for work. But certainly the economy is not falling apart. But what would happen if suddenly there really were a major catastrophe? Is it possible that the whole economy could shut down with some sort of a major event? What are your thoughts on that, James?
Well, of course, that was exactly what they were looking at back in 2008, and they were contemplating whether the fallout of Lehman was going to be that kind of complete shutdown of the economic system because of all of the knock-on effects. And again, as we talked about, AIG and its credit default swap position basically meant that if the government did not step in and do something about AIG, it was going to have perhaps incalculable effects on the overall economy. And so we've reached this point where the central banks like to justify what they're doing in their existence, basically by saying, well, without us, the sky would fall. But unfortunately, of course, this is only because they've basically allowed it to get to this point. And I think they've done this on purpose. Again, these aren't dumb people who are running the system. They understand the system that they've created and the fact that now we live in a system that is so completely artificial, is so completely necessary for these central governments to continue pumping in trillions of dollars a year. It's reached this point of complete fantasy land. So I think you're right that there are huge possible effects that could come from any type of meltdown in the economy. And because the leverage on the derivative positions is so great, very small effects can have very, very few, very huge ramifications. So we are looking at that type of scenario if and when there's some sort of large-scale destabilization to the economy.
And basically, simply just the suggestion 2 weeks ago that Bernanke was going to stop funneling $85 billion a month in the economy. We saw a cataclysmic response over 2 days, and then they assured us everything was all right, and people returned to their state of suddenly not worrying. Everything's going to be all right. The government's going to take care of it. And ladies and gentlemen, there's no way they can keep taking care of it. You know, so the planned economies do not work. And we have a planned economy. We have far more socialism and central planning in the United States than they ever had in the Soviet Union. And when that system went down, the only thing that kept the whole thing from collapsing was America stepping in and investing massive amounts of money in Russia. Who do you think drilled the oil wells for the Russians? Who do you think put in the gas wells for the Russians that made the central government have money? We did, and we did it on money that we lent to them. American corporations, you can read my newsletters on that, we cover that. Back there in the early 1990s, most people did not understand. We kept that whole system from collapsing, but who's there going to be to keep it from collapsing when we go down? Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. Our guest, of course, is James Corbett. And if you have a question or comment, these are times, difficult times. And people are going to have to get themselves into the best financial shape they can. I don't know how, what form that this collapse is going to take, but it's going to be there, and you need to be prepared for it. And certainly, it's only a matter of time before the whole financial house of cards comes down. You can't keep creating $85 billion a month out of nothing and pumping it into the economy and then hoping and praying that the banks don't start lending money, because if the banks started lending money and the corporations started spending money, the whole house would come down, the whole house of cards. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's James Corbett. And James, I know you're in contact with people all across the country. In fact, I'm fascinated to see how many various programs you're on. I appreciate the fact you're willing to come on here at Radio Liberty, but you're having increasing coverage. And what's the general tone you get from talking to other well-informed people about what's going on and really what the next things are going to be unfolding?
Well, interestingly, I think it is really interesting to see this from my perspective, because I've been at this for several years now, and even in that relatively short amount of time, I've just seen so much of an awakening happening to the issues that we're talking about here on a weekly basis that really didn't exist before. But I think people have really been shaken out of their slumbers, and different people get shaken out of their slumbers for different reasons. Some people, it was the 2008 economic crisis that made them realize just how precarious the system is. Other people, for example, take a look at something like the Boston Marathon bombing and realize that there's something much, much different happening behind the scenes than what we're being told. But whatever the reason is, I've seen so many people who have come online, to borrow an analogy, in the past several years to this type of information. And so I think that there is a growing awareness of what we're talking about, and I see that as generally a good thing. Of course, with that brings with it a certain amount of panic, that people realize that the system is being rigged and manipulated, and they start to panic over what this means and where things are headed. And to a certain extent, that's understandable, that's even justified, given the precarious state of what we're in. But again, I'd like to stress that it is up to us to make of it what we will, and hopefully we can.
Hold that thought. This is Dr. Stan. I guess it's James Corbett. Our producer will pass Herman over. We'll put Herman on first because he's calling from his cell phone. Then, of course, we'll get to Dave from Illinois. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, well, suddenly we haven't been able to get hold of Herman, so we're going to have to go to Dave if we can. Okay. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a comment to make.
Okay, go right ahead.
You know, you and other people say that they've been holding things together. I suggest they have not been holding things together, really. They've been keeping the stock market pumped up, but you know, the stock market is a bunch of artificial crap. It means nothing. The stock market's not the economy at all. It's not the economy at all anymore. You know, businesses are closing left and right. People are losing jobs. I don't think this thing is being held together, really. It's falling apart. It's a slow collapse, but it's definitely in a collapse that people with their eyes open can see. But because they pump the stock market up, which is a bunch of artificial bloat, and it's not the economy at all, really. People are fooled. They think things are going wrong, but again, the stock market is artificial as all get out. It's not the economy, so I suggest it's not being held together. The economy is a death state, a slow, utter collapse.
Well, I would not necessarily disagree with you at all. James, how would you respond to Dave's concern? Dave calling from Illinois.
I think that's what we talk about here on a weekly basis, actually, the fact that this is an economic house of cards that's built on the illusion of the stock market. So I don't think we disagree at all.
Okay, Dave, so you've got two on your side. Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, let's just pray for this country.
All right, God bless.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But before we go on, James, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster. And then, of course, I'd like you to tell them how they can get in touch with you and get the newsletter that you put out on your own. So why don't you simply put a plug in for the International Forecaster and from James Corbett's publication. And if you're out there listening audience, you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go right ahead, James.
Well, the International Forecaster is a newsletter that comes out twice a week. It runs somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 pages per copy. It has not only my editorials, but also articles and insights from other writers and lots of market information. So a lot of news and information, not only on matters economic and financial, but political, social, everything else that's happening in the world. So it is a good source of information people can turn to every week. And it is at the International Forecaster. theinternationalforecaster.com. That's all one word, theinternationalforecaster.com. And when you go there, you can find an introductory, you can find some of the articles, and you can order an introductory copy if it is your first time. Otherwise, you can also just subscribe to the newsletter outright there. If you want to write in via mail, you can write P.O. Box 7752, Winter Haven, Florida, 33883. That's P.O. Box 7752, Winter Haven, Florida, 33883. If people are interested in myself, my own work, I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. That's CorbettReport.com. And there you can find my DVDs for sale. You can sign up for my own subscriber newsletter. But I also have, of course, thousands of hours of media that's there completely freely available for download on all sorts of topics. Again, geopolitical, historical, philosophical, scientific, and social, and everything in between.
And of course, you cannot separate what is happening politically from what's happening historically. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is a long-term program aimed at destroying the financial stability of our nation. Initially, we were a powerful nation, and we were a free nation. Within the power of the central government was limited. We did not have an all-powerful military. Others out there certainly killing people throughout the world. We've killed close to 100,000 people in Iraq. Why did we do that? Well, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. That's why we did it. Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. We had to get rid of him. But who installed Saddam Hussein? Go back to 1979. You'll find out that we installed him. Go back to the late 1950s and just go to your Google and type in Saddam Hussein worked for CIA. You'll find out Saddam Hussein was trained to kill by the CIA. In the late 1950s, he was a CIA assassin. Yes, sir, we trained him very, very well. But you're never going to hear this talked. Oh, no, we had to go in and save all of those people. And in the process, we've killed almost 100,000 of them. How many, of course, were killed during the Iran-Iraq War between 1980 and 1989, when we were financing both Iraq and Iran. We were actually supplying them both with weapons, the best enemies money could buy. Well, let's go to Herman, who's calling us from Carmel. Hi, Herman. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, thank you, first of all, for having Mr. Corbett on every week. It really gives us a great perspective on what's happening. Recently, I saw an article that talked about a possible revaluation of all of the world's currencies because of some crisis, but also it talked about that included in that would be the revaluation of the Iraqi dinar. And apparently, when George Bush said, this war won't cost us a dime, it'll all be paid for, some people speculate he meant by those holding the old dinars. So could you comment on that, please?
Well, I don't know anything specifically about the dinar. I certainly know that the idea of a revaluation of currencies has been out there for a while as kind of the end game of all of this currency war and manipulation that we see going on. I don't imagine that is going to play out anytime soon, unless, of course, something catastrophic takes place. But I think that is eventually where we're heading, where they're going to try to group a bunch of currencies together and basically and have a revaluation all at the same time, so that overnight suddenly everyone finds that their dollars or pesos or yen or what have you are worth suddenly 50% of what they thought they were, or something along those lines. So I do think that is part of the end game of this, and I think we're heading towards that, but I don't know about the dinar's role in that specifically.
Okay, anything else, Sherman?
Well, if we did have a revaluation, or some would call it a devaluation, how would that change prices within our country? For example, for real estate or for food.
Well, basically, I mean, you'd still things like loans and what have you, outstanding loans would suddenly be valued in a different currency. So I think that they would also be revalued. I think ultimately what it would mean is that you would have to go and change your dollars for the new dollars, and it may be something where you have to pay five of your old dollars in order to get one of these new dollars. And what that means is that if you have $50,000 outstanding on your mortgage, well, you have to turn in $250,000 of your old dollars in order to get the $50,000 new dollars. And so you are basically losing in that equation. So I think ultimately the idea of a devaluation is a pretty horrific one for most people.
And basically, there's no better way to destroy a great nation than to destroy the value of its currency. And the people who are working behind the scenes in both political parties know exactly what they're doing, believe me. They're in gold and silver and things of value. And they're telling you, oh, don't worry about it, Sydney. Just trust the dollar. It's only a matter of time before it gets stronger and stronger. And they're simply lying. And this is what happens over and over again when you allow a small group of people to gain control of the media and to gain control of the educational system and gain control of our churches and control what the American people think and believe. Anything else you'd like to ask, Herman, before we let you go?
Yes. Regarding the immigration reform, in fact, I woke up this morning and the phrase came through my head. First thing was, amnesty will cost us more than these foreign wars. Now, we know that the war in Iraq has cost over $1 trillion plus more from all of the medical costs of the soldiers and so forth. But if we go through with this immigration reform and bring in millions of people who will be drawing on social services, won't that also ultimately cost the American taxpayer a whole lot more money?
I think it will. I think you're right about that. I don't think the economic costs of this are being really well thought about on Capitol Hill. But what else is new?
Well, I share your concern, Herman. Basically, this is going to bring all the people, and they're going to be able to bring in, assuming there's only 11 million, and there may be 20 million, but let's assume there's only 11 million, and basically, but they can bring in all their relatives. All their relatives can come in, and they'll be eligible for all the welfare benefits, older people, and we may very well see a doubling the number of people on Social Security and Medicare, and basically, it's only a matter of time before they bring down the country, but that's exactly what they want. And out of the chaos will come the New World Order and the New World Religion and the New World Leader. God bless. Thanks very much, Herman. Anything else before we let you go? Okay, God bless. Let's go to Joseph, who's calling from Georgia. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. But think, Sydney, understand with this new immigration bill, all the people here suddenly become eligible for welfare benefits. And then why bother to work when you're eligible for welfare? And you can get your health care, and you can get food stamps, and you can get a living allowance, and you can get all sorts of various subsidies. It's been estimated by the Republicans that if you don't work, you can get about $168 in benefits by playing the system and playing it right. And when you do that, of course, what you do is you bring the whole system down. This is the fear. But not only is the 11 million, assuming they're being honest with this, but they can bring in their mother, and they can bring in their dad, and they can bring in all their relatives as well. What do you think is going to happen to America and to this wonderful nation that we once had, built upon limiting the power of government so men could be free? Well, hi, Joseph. We have Joseph calling from Georgia. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. Hi, Joseph. How are we doing?
Pretty good. About yourself?
No complaints at all. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, just a quick one, and then a quick comment first about, you know, all of this college debt kids are taking on, and but like, you know, they're running commercials for welders, you know, training and stuff. But if somebody's in decent physical condition, and then I ain't talking about house framing, you know, like you see a bunch of immigrants doing that. But if somebody's good at welding and, you know, in good physical condition, it's something where they could learn a trade quick and then get in a good paying job, and then where they can move around to a job or something. Like, electrical's good too, but like a union apprenticeship's like 5 years now. But a welder, if you got a talent for it, it's a thing where you ain't gonna get in debt, and you know, you can travel to the job and make a really good wage compared to somebody that's stuck in one place. But then I got a question. You know, I've seen a front line, oh, I guess maybe 2 years ago, I recorded it. And, this woman, Leslie Bourne, she was a derivatives lawyer, and she was against that stuff Greenspan and Clint were doing, and they pretty much, you know, fluffed her off. But she knew what she was talking about because she was a lawyer for the derivatives. And just, you know, like the pensions is tied up in there, and just how much of a downturn in derivatives would it take to really crash the whole thing? You know what I mean?
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. I'm going to let you go, but we'll see. About how much of a derivative crash would it take to crash the whole thing from your point of view, Joseph?
James? yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, James.
it's really difficult to tell because, again, these derivative bets are so leveraged and they're difficult to unwind in kind of theoretical situations. So no one really knows exactly what type of crisis or what type of destabilization could bring about that great unwinding. But we do know that it could happen, and that's the scary part of all of this, that even the smartest men in the room, quote-unquote, don't understand exactly how this works or all the implications of it. And you're exactly right. There was Brooksley Bourne was the name of that woman who was basically warning about what was happening in the over-the-counter derivatives markets that were and are completely deregulated, unregulated, and the dangers of that system. I'm not particularly a fan of government regulation as the cure-all for this, because we know that, of course, the governments are very much part of this whole system. But at any rate, she certainly did warn about the dangers of derivatives and what they were going to bring with them, and unfortunately, she's been proven correct.
Okay, fine. So let's go to Romus. Rich. Hi, Romus. Rich, how are you doing?
Hi, Grandpa Liberty. It's always an honor privilege to speak to you and Mr.
Corbett, James Corbett.
Yes, anyways, I was reading on Stephen Quayle had an economist, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, and he says the U.S. is trying to push back the dollar blow-up, and I want to get Mr. Corbett's thought on this. It's about a trade with Europe and even some of the Asian companies, not China or Russia or any of those, but he's saying that if they can get these countries into the U.S. dollar, that would strengthen it, and that could push off the blow-up, you know, for two or three more, well, my opinion is he doesn't know for how many years, but they could back that dollar from going kaput. Now, I've been down to Central America, and like in El Salvador, they don't use their peso. They use the U.S. dollar. In fact, I ran into Secretary Hillary State's aide at one of the hotels there where they were saying how great, you know, the El Salvadorans are doing on their economics and politicians. Of course, he was back in the Democratic Party. But I told him, I said, well, I hope the guy that you guys can do what you say you can do for them, for us. But anyways, have you heard about the European and the Asian type trade, open trade they're trying to get? And
Okay, Rich, let's see what James has to say. James, have you heard anything at all about Paul Craig Roberts, incidentally, was at one time the Undersecretary of the...
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, Undersecretary of the Treasury. He was a very well-educated individual and an economist. He's very critical of what's going on today. Have you heard anything at all about what Rich is talking about?
Yes, I have. In fact, they are right now. They're still trying to hammer out behind the scenes quietly a transatlantic trade deal. There's also the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP deal, that is being hammered out. And in fact, the next round of talks is due to take place in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia just later this month. And that's an attempt to form a wider trade bloc that's basically kind of NAFTA of the Asia-Pacific, that it has been taking place completely in secrecy, completely behind closed doors for a couple of years now. And they're getting towards the point where they are actually going to be finalizing that deal. And I think that's something that Americans should be exceptionally concerned about, because it really is, I mean, as damaging as NAFTA was to the American economy, this is going to be even more damaging because it's even wider. And I think you're right. This is part of the attempt to form these regional trading blocks that will counteract, for example, China's influence. As people know, China is going around the world trying to form all these bilateral deals based in local currencies that go around the U.S. dollar. But the formation of these trade blocks would enhance U.S. trade and perhaps prop up the U.S. dollar.
Hold the thought. So, Rich, does that help you evaluate what you heard?
Mr. Corbin hit the nail right on the head that Mr. Craig Roberts thinks that this is going to be a desperate ploy for them to hold up the dollar for a little bit.
Well, now, is that Craig Roberts or is that Paul Craig Roberts?
Okay, let me see. Hang on. I got it right here.
I'm guessing it's going to be Paul Craig Roberts.
It's the economist, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts.
Okay, fine. Well, this is one place I would disagree with him. He's a brilliant guy, but we'll have to wait and see. God bless. Thanks so much. And let's go to Bruce, who's calling us from Spokane. Hi, Bruce. You have a question or comment? Let's see. Bruce, are you there? Oh, we lost Bruce. Well, hopefully he'll call back in again. But basically, we've got just a couple of minutes for you to wrap up the program. James, go right ahead.
Well, again, I hope people will take a look at some of those trade deals that are being hammered out right now. As I say, again, they're taking place completely behind closed doors in complete secrecy. Not even Congress is allowed to have oversight over these trade deals, despite the fact that that these trade deals will have impacts on American law. Because the best way to change laws from behind the scenes without anyone knowing is to sign a treaty, which can be done by the president without Congress even seeing the deal, let alone signing off on it. And unfortunately, this is exactly what's happening with the Trans-Pacific Partnership and other types of partnerships that are being entered into right now. People who are interested in that, I recently conducted an interview with Niall Bowie there in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia as he's covering the upcoming talks there. So people can turn to the interview section of my website for more on that. But these are the types of things that are taking place completely off the radar of the financial media that are likely to have huge, huge implications if this does indeed get passed later this year as it's expecting. So it's always the things that they're asking us not to concentrate on that are probably going to have the biggest effect. And that's why, again, people have to start tuning out of the mainstream talking heads and looking behind the scenes as to what's really going on. And usually it's in the places where people aren't allowed to know what's going on and or they don't want you to know what's going on.
Well, let's go to Bruce calling from Spokane. Bruce, go right ahead. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. First of all, I appreciate him. I'm subscribed to his channel on YouTube. I enjoy his videos very much. They're very informative and a great replacement for Bob Chapman. Now, I'd like to know how in the world they expected the Iraqi war to be paid for by the dinar. Did they say old dinar or new dinar? Because I have over a half a million of the new dinar that was printed after the fall of Saddam Hussein. So I'm looking at something that looks pretty, but it's just about...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Bruce calling from Spokane, and he was commenting on a comment that was made earlier, something about paying for the Iraqi war with the dinar. Well, of course, Bruce, our caller from Spokane, says that he's got a half a million dinar, but he doesn't think they're worth much of anything. These are the new dinar. What are your thoughts on that, James?
Well, again, I think that the idea that the Iraq war was going to be paid for by the country itself was always kind of one of those political lies that was just floated around to make it more sellable to the American public. I don't think they really ever expected that. So I think it's political blather, basically.
Bruce, I would not try to ensure my retirement based upon those denials that you have. Anyway, God bless you.
I would not. I was also in Kuwait, and yet the opposite happened, where it went up four times from the time that Saddam Hussein invaded, and then it stabilized, and then just shot up the roof because it was far more stable.
Were you in the military at the time, or working for the military?
Yep.
Okay. God bless. Well, thanks for calling, and we look forward to hearing from you again in the not too distant future. Bye bye. Okay, James, we're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. Parting thought before we let you go.
Stay safe and just keep your head in the game and don't let them distract you. So thanks again for having me on. I appreciate it.